I want to talk to somebody tonight, and I feel that it's a word for somebody. That you've come into this sanctuary tonight, and you are in a hopeless condition. Now, on the outside, you may have on fairly decent clothes. You might be able to say, you know, good evening, how are you, to people who greet you. You might be able even to sing some of the songs that we've sang tonight, but you're hopeless. You feel hopeless, and you know you're hopeless. You're not even sure why you bothered to come to church this evening. You wonder if what people are experiencing, is it real, or is it just something that people do Sunday night? For an hour and a half, and do they go out the door, and are they actually the same as I am? In the Bible, there's a story of a man, his name was Lazarus. He had once been so alive. This man, the Bible tells us, he had family, he had love, and he even seemed to have a future with God in it. You remember when many were young, many of us were attenders at some form of church where we heard God's voice, at least in some measure. And there was kindness in his voice. We anticipated even going. I'm speaking to somebody tonight who was in church when you were young, and you went to a thing called Sunday school. You didn't, maybe it wasn't your mom and dad that took you there, maybe a friend or a neighbor. You heard words and they made your heart glad. And Lazarus was like that. Periodically, the Son of God would come to his house and he would sit at a table or in a living room and he would hear his words. And I'm sure these words brought an incredible gladness into his heart. And he must have felt like he had a future. I've got love. I've got a family. We, most of us feel that way when we're young. Some don't. I understand that. But most do. May have even felt like he had a future, but there was something unforeseen that got a hold of his body as he got older. You know, it's funny. We start out as children, we're such optimists. We go out in the street and we play our games and we have our friends, and it seems like there's such an incredible future ahead of us. And it seems to many when we're children that everything is available. The world is literally open to us. And most everything is good. But he didn't foresee what was going to get a hold of his body. The writer in the book of Romans says it this way: I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Let me paraphrase this for you. He said, I was alive once, but eventually I found out that there was a difference between right and wrong. And I thought I could embrace the wrong and suffer no consequence, and I was wrong. I've never, ever heard a testimony yet. I've been here 19 years. I've never heard anybody get up and say, I decided to start taking drugs, and I thought it was right. I robbed a store, and it felt good. No, there's a conscience inside. There's a knowledge of right and wrong. Even if it's not completely biblically based, there's still a conscience that God plants inside of all of us. And so Paul is talking about, I came to the knowledge that there was a right and there was a wrong according to the ways of God, and I thought I could do the wrong and I thought I could handle it. And I didn't realize that I was allowing something access into my life that would just literally put its roots around every fiber of hope I have in my being. The roots of evil would take away my eyes. It would take away my ability to hear. It would take away, as we heard tonight, it would crush my heart and take out of me the ability to love. It would, as we heard this evening, cause me to be rebellious against authority. It would cause me to do what I know is wrong. And it would bring me to a place where I wouldn't know how to get out. And as his condition began to deepen, he found his strength becoming less and less, his vision and hearing dimming and clouding, and his focus becoming almost completely on his own present condition. And when sin begins to operate, and by sin I mean when we begin to do wrong against what God says is right, we begin to live in a way we know we shouldn't be living. Sin begins to get its roots inside of us. our strength begins to be diminished to the point where we're focused on ourselves almost exclusively. Paul says it this way in Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? God Almighty, who will deliver me? Who will set me free?" I don't want to scream at my children. I don't want to do the things I do. I don't want to go to that place. I don't want to set that in front of my eyes. I don't want to read this. I don't want to speak this. I don't want to react this way. But it seems that sin has found such a stronghold in me, I don't know how to get out. And how terrifying it is when the whispers of hopelessness begin. And many here tonight know what that's all about. It's whispers of your own heart. And some of it's demonic. And some of it comes from people who used to be your friends and family. Whispers. People begin to whisper when you walk in a room. They whisper about the hopelessness of your condition. They whisper about the inescapability of you ever changing. They whisper about how threatened they feel by having you even in the same room. You become aware of the opinions of others when they begin to agree that your condition is without hope. Have you ever been there? Have you ever heard people talk about you? Has somebody ever said something that scarred you for years and years and years? I had that happen to me as a child one time. Something was said that would cause me to cry even when I became a man. And when it was said, I was only about 6 or 7 years of age. They wrapped me up as good as dead and put me out of their sight. And that's exactly what happened to Lazarus. He died. It was hopeless. And as he was lying on his deathbed, hearing the people around whisper about the hopelessness and whisper about how they're going to put him away, whisper about where they're going to put him. And finally, they wrap him all up and they put him out of their sight. And many people know exactly what this feels like. They can say these words, "I sit alone every night in the dark and I mourn the loss of my life." When no one else is around, oh, I can play the party guy throughout the week. I can laugh with the best of them at the jokes, but you see where it really, the rubber really hits the road is when I get home at night and I sit in my chair in the corner, or I lay in my bed, and I'm all alone with my thoughts and I mourn the loss of my life. My life is over. It's finished. It's hopeless. I'm down this dark hole and I don't know how to get out. Will I ever get out? Is there ever any hope to get out? And somehow, some way, you find yourself here tonight in this church wondering how you've ever even gotten here in the first place. And is there any hope here? There was a day in Lazarus' life, strangely, that light began to fill his darkened place. Somebody rolled away the stone. There was a grave and a stone was in front of it. And somebody rolled that stone away at the command of the Son of God. And the light of day came into that darkened place. And here you are tonight and you've heard some incredible testimonies and we've sang some wonderful songs. And suddenly in your darkened place, in that darkened corner of your mind, in that darkened corridor of your life, there's suddenly light has come in. It's minimal, but it's still light. It's a ray of hope. You sit here tonight thinking, this might be too good to be true. I remember the first time a Christian police officer told me, I was tired of being angry. I was tired of being drunk. I was tired of saying things to my wife that I shouldn't be saying. I was tired of being selfish. I was tired of being a lousy father to my baby son. And I remember he told me that if Christ is in any man, or if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things in his life pass away. He said, Carter, if you come to Christ, Jesus not only promises you eternal life, but a new life here on this earth. And I remember thinking in my heart, God, could this be true? Is it possible? Is this guy just telling me this because he wants me to convert to his way of thinking so he can get another notch on his belt? Or is this really true? Does God really give people a new life? Does he really change them from the inside out? Are they really given a new mind? Does he really plant a new heart within us? Does he give us a new spirit? Are we really born again? given another chance, as it is, born again. Which means our life from the time we were born to the time we meet Christ is literally gone, eradicated, covered, wiped out. The power of it, the penalty of it, the strength of it is destroyed, and we're born again by the Spirit of God. We have a new life from the day we come to Christ. And you're thinking tonight, is it possible? Is it possible that this is true? I want to believe in hope, but there are still those old voices still taunting me about my hopeless and wretched condition. I want you to imagine Lazarus laying in the tomb. The stone is rolled away, and the first thing he hears is the voices of his family and former friends. Oh, he stinks. That's what his sister said about him. He stinks. And his other sister says, oh, if God had only shown up way back then, there would have been a chance, but not now. And then the professional mourners are there. They still exist today. They're people who feel like their life's goal is to mourn over somebody else's hopelessness. And so to get through to God, we have to get through those voices. We have to determine in our hearts that those voices are not going to stop us, because there is one other voice, one more voice. It's farther back than these voices. It's a voice I have heard before. He had heard this voice in his home before, years before, and suddenly this voice is back again calling him, and I can just see Lazarus in the grave saying, he didn't forget me after all. Everyone else wrote me off, but he didn't forget me. He came for me. He came for me when everyone else said there was no hope. When everyone else says he stinks. When everyone else says he's wrapped up. When everyone else says death has won a victory. There's one more voice. One last voice has come for me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It's the only voice that really matters in eternity. It's the voice of God. It's the voice that created this world and created this universe. By him all things consist. By him all things were created. And all things are held in their position in the universe by the word of his mouth. That's the voice that calls us. The voice that says to you tonight, there is no hopelessness in your life. Yes, you are sick, and yes, the power of death seemingly has won a victory. But he said about Lazarus, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. And suddenly there's a voice that rises above every other voice. All of the murmuring, all the threatenings, all the whisperings. There's one more voice. It's louder. It has more power. It's filled with compassion. It has glory in it. It's a voice that seems to have the power to bring life out of death and to create something out of nothing. And that voice says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, get up. Lazarus, move towards me. You don't have to stay in the grave, and you don't have to be. And the epitaph on your tomb does not have to be the sum total in the end of your life. I have a new life for you. I have a victorious life for you. I have a glorious life for you. All you have to do is get up. Just get up. That's your part. Just get up. Do you have to get it all together before you come to God? No. You come as you are. You come with your grave clothes. You come with your stink. You come with everything that this world has placed. You just come. And you're going to find God is going to do a miracle. He's going to wipe away and destroy the penalty that sin brought into your heart and to your mind. He said through one of the prophets in the Old Testament, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new mind. I will give you a new spirit. In other words, I will totally remake you from the inside out. And you will know that I am God. The Lord says, when I have raised you out of your grave, you will know. You will not be subject to anybody else's argument about the reality of God. You will know that God is real. There's an old song we sing that says, you ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You ask me how, you ask me how. How did you change? He lives within my heart. How did you get free from what used to bind you? He lives within my heart. How did you become a person who's so kind when you used to be so selfish? He lives within my heart. There is no other answer. And no other answer is necessary. There's a verse of scripture in the New Testament that says, today, if you can hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If you can hear his voice, just get up and come to him. He will do all the rest. Just get up. I want to give you a bold invitation tonight. When Jesus died for you, he died on a hill, and he died technically naked. He had a loincloth on, but that was considered nakedness in those days. He died shamed, and he did it publicly because he loved you. He took your shame, he took your death, he took your penalty, he took it all, everything you deserve for everything you've done. He took it all on himself, and he did it publicly. The least that you and I can do is publicly give ourselves to him. He is not ashamed to call you his own, and you and I should not be ashamed to call him our God. I want to give you an invitation. Tonight, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if what you hear has stirred you to step out of darkness and into the hope that God offers, I'm going to ask you to stand, please. Those who want to receive Christ, just stand wherever you are, please. In the balcony, go ahead. Then for those who stood, we're all going to stand in a moment. And for those who stood and those who should have stood, there's another young lady. God bless you for the courage. Come. We're all going to stand, and those who want to receive Christ as your Savior, you want to turn from sin and you want this. I'm promising you tonight that God is not going to fail you. If I didn't know this to be true, if this was just some religious head trip, I wouldn't waste your time or mine. But I know this is true because of what God did in my life. And I know that he's going to answer your cry. I know he will forgive you. I know he'll drive the darkness out of your mind and give you a reason to live and a song to sing and a future and a hope. I know this. As surely as I stand here, I know it's true. And so if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ tonight, as we stand, I'm going to ask that you slip out of your seat wherever you are and you make your way with these who have already stood and you come to this altar tonight. And I'm going to pray a prayer. You're going to make it your own. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is going to receive you tonight as his own. And he's going to break the chains of darkness and sin and give you life. Just come. Let's stand, please. And those who need to be here, come. Just slip out of your seat wherever you are right now. Up in the balcony, go to either exit and make your way down here. And join these that are coming. Coming of all ages. coming of all races, coming of all walks of life. People who know they need Christ as Savior. Come and join them. Don't die when you can have life. Don't live in darkness when you can have light. Don't walk out of here hopeless, thinking that just a momentary religious time of singing songs is somehow going to transform you. It takes more than that. It takes a decision to give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please, if you can hear his voice, just step out. Many, thank you, young man. God bless you for the courage to come. Hallelujah. Keep coming. Lazarus, come forth. Keep coming. Step out of darkness and step into light. Don't die when you can have life. Don't go to hell when you can go to heaven. Glory to God. Look at these folks coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for life. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for you, that you should not perish but have everlasting life. This is one more opportunity. I'm going to get Ivory and the worship team to sing one song, and as they do, please, my friend, please, my brother, my sister, please, fathers, this is Father's Day. For the sake of your families and for God's sake, step out of darkness and step into life. The Lord will do miracles for you. This is true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just come. Do me a favor right now. Just turn to the person beside you, if you will, especially if you brought somebody with you tonight, and just say, If you're afraid to go down there, but you want to go, I'll go with you. Just do that right now. Just do that. And if your friend wants to go, just bring him down or bring her down. And come down. We'll wait for you. Just slip out. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Which one of you is coming to Christ? You are. God bless you. I expect to see you here a lot, okay? We love you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. The Bible says that angels in heaven are rejoicing over those that are turning to Christ tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing it one more time, please, if you will. There's more coming. I see a lot of tears here tonight. You're going to want to cry when you go home, and it's not going to be strange because your new babies cry, and you'll be born again. And part of the tears, when I really found out that Jesus loved me, I cried for 3 days. And part of the tears is just the pain of the past, the shame of wrong, all of that stuff. The tears just wash it away. And there's such hope comes into the heart of the life that God is going to give you. And whispers start to come into your heart of things you'd never even thought were possible. And it's the beginning of God speaking to you, and he's going to do that through his word, the Bible. He begin to speak so clearly to you. And tonight I'm going to pray a prayer, and it's there's nothing magical about the prayer. You just have to make it your own. It's just to help you to understand what you're about to do. You're opening your heart, and you're confessing that that you have sinned against God. It's important to say that. I've done wrong. I've lived wrong. And the way I've lived, Jesus sent you to a cross. And thank God you did, or I'd have no hope. But Jesus, you took on yourself when you were beaten, spit on, your beard was pulled out, you were kicked and whipped. You took my punishment on yourself for all the wrong I've done. And now you open your arms to me and said, come to me. And I'll make you clean and I'll make you my own. It's an offer that will give you a brand new life on the earth and an assurance that you're going to be with God when you die. Let's pray together and make it your own prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you died for me. And you did it so that you could forgive me. I want to so thank you for hearing your voice tonight, calling me out of my darkness and my hopelessness into your life that you offer me. I give you my life, all of it. Lord Jesus Christ, you said that if I would do this, that you would receive me as your very own, that you would come to me and set me free and give me a new heart, a new mind, a new future. I so thank you for not turning me away and for receiving me tonight as your child. Help me to walk with you. Help me to believe you and to let you be God to me and be God in me. Help me to have faith, to believe your promises, that you will make me into a new person. And my life will be for your glory as long as I live. I will not be ashamed of you, because you're not ashamed of me. I will speak your name. I will tell others what you have done tonight and what you will continue to do for me. From this day forward, I belong to you, and I am now and forever a follower of Jesus Christ, a child of God. I am tonight born again by the Spirit of God. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Heaven is my home. I belong to God. It's signed in the blood of Jesus. It's done by the promises of God. From this day forward, I belong to God. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for releasing this man, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of pain, a lot of years there. Oh, that's the way it is when you find God. It feels like you've come home. After this, we're going to dismiss in just a moment. And downstairs, there are people who would like to pray for you, and they have a part of the Bible to give you if you don't have one. They can help you find a good church. If you're visiting, we know of a lot of good churches in the city that we would highly recommend to you. We want to help you get started, that's all. This is not a high-pressure church. We don't bother anybody. But if we can help you, we'd like to do that. You would always be welcome to fellowship here and to worship here. We have classes for people who have just come to Christ, just like yourself. 58 of those people are going to be baptized in water on Tuesday night. Brand new believers in Christ. Stay with it, okay? Walk with God. Don't turn back. Determine in your heart, I'm not turning back. I'm not turning back. By God's mercy, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray that you seal these with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, Holy Spirit, come upon these men and women. God Almighty, I ask, Lord, that as they go home tonight and when they go back to their apartments and they sit in those former darkened places, that those rooms be flooded with light, flooded with life, flooded with song, flooded with hope, flooded with a future. Lord, that only you can do. Seal in them this work that's happened at this altar tonight. And don't let any voice, don't let any of those sneering voices come and try to steal it from them. God, let these men and women and young people be used for your glory. This sickness, you said, is not unto death, but to the glory of God. And Father, thank you for raising us when we could not raise ourselves, and for setting us free when we couldn't get out, and lifting us up when we couldn't get up. Thank you for how good you are, Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty, what a privilege to call you our God and our friend. And we thank you for it in your precious and holy name. Now, the Bible says that the angels of heaven are rejoicing over even one person who's come to Christ, and it sounds like this tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Let's go rejoicing tonight. Glory to God. Praise God.